Jesus said that the story of Mary anointing him with expensive perfume would be known in all the world. But what was so important in that act, and why does it matter? Today on Cross Connection, we will examine the story of Mary anointing Jesus and him entering Jerusalem for the last time. Welcome to Cross Connection. Have you ever wondered what the meaning of Jesus' death and resurrection is? Today, there are many theories and that try to explain what Jesus' death really accomplished. But what did Jesus himself say about his death and resurrection? Did he ever explain it? It turns out that he did. In fact, the great subject of John chapter 12 is Jesus giving his incredible, life-changing explanation of the meaning of his death and his resurrection. So join us as we experience the Word of God come alive together. And I'm excited because we are joined by Jitesh and Martha, and Sergio, of course.
Yeah. Yes.
This is going to be a great study. And unfortunately, it is a very sad day in the history of Cross Connection.
Yeah, it's our last episode for this season.
For this season, this is a crucial word, for this season, because we will be definitely coming back. And we are so glad that you're joining us today. And Sergio, it's really a blessing when we hear people commenting and writing to us throughout this 1 hour.
Absolutely, Oleg. You know, it has been a huge blessing. And the best part about it is that we're live, so we never really know what you're going to say. Every week this season, you've moved us, you've surprised us, you've inspired us, and you've brought us closer to God. And we can't thank you enough for getting connected with us throughout the whole year and helping us to connect with God as well. It's what we're all about at Cross Connection, and today's study is no different, so let's do it one more time with today's question. What are some things in this world that can keep us from fully devoting ourselves to God?
So this is the question that we are addressing you, and please get connected with us.
Absolutely.
Today,
let's do it.
Right now. And this is the beauty of Cross Connection, in the sense that you cannot get it anywhere else. Mm. Because the Bible study that you have at your home sometimes, it's just four of us. It could have been just four of us. Mm-hmm. But now it's a huge community and thousands of people are joining.
Global Bible study.
Mm-hmm. What can be better? That's why we reveal this Word of God, and literally it comes alive in our lives. And today we will be talking about a fascinating story. Actually, a few stories. John chapter 12 is literally packed with exciting and useful information.
Yeah,
literally packed. And there is something important that we actually have to note. Because the Gospel according to John can be divided into two sections. Mm-hmm. One section is the section is called the Book of Signs. Mm. In that section, Jesus performs signs and he gives the explanation to those signs.
This is Jesus in action.
Jesus in action, yeah. Absolutely. And second half can be called the Book of Glory. Mm. So this is when Jesus is actually being glorified.
Yeah. And just a lot of teachings.
Teachings and the last week of Jesus' life. Mm. The last week of Jesus' life. So the first half, which is the Book of Signs, ends by chapter 12. Mm. Oh. That is why we end our season in chapter 12, because it's the book of signs.
All right.
So, and let's just start. And we will start reading John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And before we open our Bibles, let us pray. And Jitesh, could you pray for us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for another opportunity to learn more about you, Lord. Please be here with us as we learn more and just really open our hearts and minds to what you have to say, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Sergio, could you lead us in reading verses 1 through 3, chapter 12?
Okay. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil.
Okay, I would like us to travel in time and actually place ourselves into this in this context.
All right, let's do it.
So this is actually right before the third Passover. And we need to look at this timeline because there was Jesus' first miracle. Mm-hmm. So Jesus' first miracle, what was Jesus' first miracle? Remind me.
Water into wine.
Excellent. You've got it right. The first miracle of Jesus is water into wine, and you can see it on your screen. Then we talk about the Passover, when Jesus cleanses the temple and he has this conversation with Nicodemus. Mm-hmm. Then we move forward. And when we move forward, we go to the Feast of Trumpets, or Samaritan woman, and Jesus has this encounter with Samaritan woman, and then the Feast of Trumpets. It happened probably in September. Then we move forward, and then we come to another Passover. And here in this Passover, Jesus is feeding 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. And then we continue moving forward, and then we see the Feast of Tabernacles. In chapter 7, we read about it. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Dedication, and then if we move forward, we will see that this is what happens here. The death and the resurrection of Lazarus, and then Jesus' anointing. This is what we are talking about right now. Mm-hmm. After that, there will be Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, and then there will be the last Passover. So everything that we are talking about right now is happening within a week. So it's within a week from Jesus' death.
So up until then, I think there were three Passovers, so that's 3 years?
3 years, yeah. Three or two, two and a half, 3 years. Definitely 3 years, if you count.
Okay.
That is why we come to conclusion that Jesus' ministry was about 3 years.
Okay.
3 years. So this is the last. And what happens here, what we read from the very first verse, it happens how many days before the Passover?
Six.
6 days before the Passover. So Jesus comes to where again?
Bethany.
Last week we talked about Bethany. How far Bethany was from Jerusalem, Sergio? You can
about read. 2 miles, right?
About 2 miles. So if you talk about Bethany and Jerusalem, it was about 2 miles. Let's look at chapter 10, verse 31. Where was it that and what people wanted to do to Jesus in Jerusalem in verse 31?
Stone.
And then verse 39. They wanted to do what with Jesus again?
To seize him again.
And here Jesus is in Bethany.
Again.
He's close.
Yeah, he's close. He's so courageous. He comes here. And this is what happens here in the house of Lazarus. What happens here? Tell me. Help me.
A dinner again,
yes. And the woman?
Mary
comes
anointed
Jesus.
Feet.
Okay, let's just make another trip. I've got something that Martha actually brought. Martha, tell us what this is.
This is an alabaster container.
Yes.
It's a little one. Yes. I'm sure Mary's must have been quite bigger.
Okay.
But it was made in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And when we visit the fabric or the place where they were making them, mm-hmm. you could see the stones were on one side, and then people go grab the stones, and then they come and they... Make it.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the technical term, but I can't think of one. And then you can follow the whole process until at the end they sell you. And it's quite expensive, honestly.
It is quite expensive.
Yes.
So, and this is what you brought from Egypt, all the way from Egypt.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this is how the alabaster flask would look like.
Mm-hmm.
But the flask that Mary actually brought to Jesus was a little bigger, because it says, not that much bigger, but it was a little bigger. It actually says that it was about a pound.
Mm-hmm.
A pound, it was probably a Roman pound. And Roman pound was approximately the size of a soda can. It's not, we are not promoting any drinks. Even though this is our producer's favorite drink. I won't show what it is. It's not Coca-Cola, trust me. But anyway, so it's approximately...
Like a 12-ounce
Yeah, 12-ounce
container.
Yes, so 12-ounce container. So this is how big it was. Mm-hmm. What was the price of it? Can you help me?
300 denarii, right?
300 denarii.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, it's almost impossible to... How much do you think it was? And you probably know what it was.
Well, say it was like a salary for a whole year.
Mm-hmm. Salary for a year, yes.
Wow. A whole year.
So if we were to place it into a dollar equivalent,
mm-hmm.
How much do you think it would have been for average American?
Well, if we're doing the average salary, it's...
probably.
I don't know, $30,000, $40,000.
Yeah, average. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, maybe 30, 40, 50. Anyway,
is it 50? That can't be the average.
Okay, it may be maybe not the average.
Who knows?
But anyway, we don't know. We cannot even place it into the context. It was definitely 1 year of.
She would have had to work for a whole year to be able to afford that.
Exactly.
Wow.
What does it tell you about this fact that she did it?
It has a lot of generosity, mm-hmm. and like she was giving everything to Jesus, basically. Mm. She was not giving just the alabaster container with mm-hmm. the perfume, mm-hmm. but it was probably her most precious belonging, something that she really valued, and mm-hmm. it represented how much she loved him.
Yeah.
She was willing to give a lot because she loved him so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a difference between giving someone a gift and then going to their feet and rubbing it on their mm-hmm. feet.
I mean,
if you were to see somebody do that nowadays, I mean, that would be mind-blowing. I mean, so that's the part that I think is more important to me is, you know, you can give gifts to anybody. But the point is when you face-to-face go to them and then and touch their feet, which is a place that, you know, people never touch mm-hmm. because it's dirty or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking that expensive thing and putting it on someone's feet.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
You
know, like, there has to be some kind of, you know, supernatural love there from Jesus. You know, it can't be just something mm-hmm. normal that you do, you know, on a daily basis uh-huh. or a selfish thing that you do.
What was the explanation that Jesus gives to this event? We can read about it in verse 7.
Let her alone. She was kept this for the day of my burial. So it's amazing that, first of all, that somehow she has a year's salary saved up.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to have given every penny she has for this. But again, why? She had this incredible understanding of what Jesus was about to do, that she was willing to give every penny that she had in order to prepare him for his burial.
Mm.
It's pretty incredible, just the understanding she had of Jesus' mission.
And so much gratitude, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is simply amazing because if you think about it, many people who saw it, they didn't even recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even know what it was about. Because look what happens when Judas saw it. He sees it and he says, what was his reaction?
Why don't we sell it, give it to the poor?
Yeah, verse 5. Why don't we sell it, give it to the poor?
Yeah.
In parallel version, which is in Mark, we read exactly the same story. Mm-hmm. All disciples, they mm-hmm. say, why did she sell it and gave it to the poor?
Mm-hmm.
But she was the only one who understood.
And that's the thing. That's what I love about this act is that it's not for show because
mm-hmm.
it's a very expensive perfume. She spent a lot of money, but it's not for show because she kind of understood. No one gets it but her. And so she's not doing it to impress anyone but Jesus,
mm-hmm.
even at the expense of potential ridicule from other people.
Exactly. Okay, ridicule. This is a very good point. What was so unique about it? First of all, it was the perfume that mm-hmm. she poured on Jesus' feet. What else?
She dipped her hair.
Her tears and her hair.
Her hair. And this is interesting because now you're mixing something else from another account.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's hair, right?
No, this is good because here it says only hair.
Yeah.
Right.
Here. In another story, you're right because it was tears in Luke. If you read the Gospel according to Luke, verses chapter 7, it was tears. But it was probably both at the time.
Right.
But whatever it was, it's true. Her hair.
But can you think of a woman nowadays doing something like that?
Oh, no.
See?
I mean,
a woman's hair is very precious. It's like, you just, even guys don't go touching a woman's hair. It's just,
unless
it's
very intimate. Spend hours doing it and taking care.
Yeah, exactly.
And when Jitesh will be married, this is what you will be able to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is, and it's not the end, because what happens, at that time, Greco-Roman world, all women, if you go to any museum, and if you see, and Martha will be probably in some of those museums very soon in Italy, you will see women's head, they will be always, their hair will be always up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The hair will not be down.
Oh, wow. Mm.
But what she does here, she does something very humiliating even.
Mm.
By pulling her hair down
and literally wiping the feet of Jesus. Wow.
Mm.
This.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, let's just meditate about it. Meanwhile, just for a few seconds.
Okay.
And meanwhile, this is a perfect time to take the time to respond to our question as well. What are some things in this world that can keep us from fully devoting ourselves to God? We'll be right back. Welcome back, and thank you for being a part of Cross Connection. And we talked about Mary anointing Jesus, and what is the takeaway lesson that from this story that you could learn? Martha, you told us something during the break.
Well, it taught me that I need to show in life, that show mm-hmm. gratitude, show love. If I feel like Mary, such mm-hmm. an incredible gratitude for Jesus' forgiveness, mm-hmm. it has to be done before he dies. And same mm-hmm. with the people we love, with our people around us. We have to do things before they die. Mm-hmm. Because at the end, the women tried to bring all the species for Jesus, but yes. he was not there anymore. He was dead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Beautiful. Jitesh?
That's perfect.
Okay. It was okay. Got it. Excellent. But there is something else which is also very important that we can see right ahead of us. In the same chapter, we are in John chapter 12, verses 10 and 18 and 11. 10 and 11. Mm-hmm. What does it say in your Bible, Jitesh?
But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus.
So we talked about in our previous chapter, what did we talk about?
Jesus raising Lazarus from mm-hmm. the dead.
Exactly. So Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Now Jesus is again at what place? In Bethany.
Hanging out with Lazarus.
Yeah, hanging out with Lazarus.
Yes.
And there, so Mary anoints Jesus, which points to Jesus' death. And now this chief priest want to do what?
Kill Lazarus.
What was the reason? Why did they want to kill him in verse 11? You could probably see.
Because they believed in Jesus.
They believed in Jesus.
And they were wanting to follow him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they wanted to kill Lazarus.
He's a threat to their operation.
Exactly.
So he's got to go.
Exactly. He's got to go. Even though sometimes he disproves their fundamental beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. The chief priests were Sadducees.
Okay.
Sadducees.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It may. They what?
They did not believe in resurrection.
Sadducees did not believe in resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But what do they see? They see Lazarus.
Resurrected man.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense, because according to our doctrine, he's not supposed to be resurrected.
That's incredible.
Wow.
What does it? Yeah.
Here, literally staring at them in the face,
yes.
is someone that is telling them what your belief system, your doctrines are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than, at that point, you only have two options. You mm-hmm. can completely reject it, or you can go, wow, I need to accept this. This is the truth. I need to adjust how I think. But they chose to just reject it.
Mm-hmm. How,
they were clinging to their beliefs.
How easy is that for us to actually look Jesus in the face and say, you know what? I literally need to readjust my beliefs.
Yeah.
Is it possible at all to do it today? And how difficult or how easy is it? And what do we need to do in order to make it happen?
Wow. That's something that happens every day, I think, that we see Jesus working and, mm-hmm. We see it and yet we don't believe it. It's like, no, this can't be possible. This, it's not possible. I need to go read up some more and learn more about this because it can't be possible. But Jesus himself, God is working in your life and he sends certain people, certain situations mm-hmm. that he wants you to experience. And there's good things that come from it, but we can't seem to accept it.
Right.
It's just... That's what we can't believe. We don't believe in it.
It's one of the things that we talk about on Cross Connection so often, is that when we turn to the Word of God, we have to be willing to let it inform us and inform what we believe.
That's right.
Rather than using the Word of God to go, see, this mm-hmm. is why I believe what I believe, mm-hmm. and this is why you should believe this,
mm-hmm.
rather than something to point to support our pre-existing belief system.
Yes.
We need to turn to it to change us and inform what we believe so that we can get closer to the truth, which, as Jesus said, is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah. And this is what we are trying to do, don't we, Martha?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. And look what happens next. In John chapter 12, we are in chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. Mm-hmm. Jesus is entering Jerusalem. And Sergio, I want you to read this almost like in artistic way.
I can only do the first part of that.
Okay, listen.
Okay. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt."
Okay, just it's an amazing story. And if you want to know our take on this and what Matthew has to tell about this story, you can also, of course, read the Gospel according to Matthew.
and of course.
Watch Cross Connection in our previous season, which is also great because we talked about it. So in this story, I want just to ask to notice two main points. First is, what was the word that people used when they cried out to Jesus?
Hosanna.
What does it mean?
You tell me.
Hosanna. It means, like, actually, save us now.
Oh. Mm. Oh.
Sometimes we talk about Hosanna as like, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But no, this word actually means save us now.
Asking for something rather than giving something up.
I'm happy I didn't answer.
So they were asking for something, but at the same time, they were actually waving something as well, which is palm branches.
Yeah.
That was a sign of victory.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the palm
exactly. That was the sign of victory first. Mm. Second, they were shouting out, save us now. And how did Jesus enter Jerusalem?
On a donkey.
It's not a very victorious entry.
But that's how the kings used to enter. I remember David, when he was crowned, he entered in a donkey. So it was, there was like a history there from all the Israelite kings. They used to go into the city in a donkey.
But was it just a normal donkey? Because it's saying young donkey. Why is the emphasis on young and donkey's colt?
Is that to fulfill the... fulfill the prophecy?
Yeah, exactly. This is a very good point. First of all, Martha, usually you're right, because David, once he was entering on a donkey, but it was just once. If we read Isaiah, or if we read, for instance, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 26, Solomon talks about war horses. Mm-hmm. Horses are entering. Moreover, in the book of Maccabees, it talks about Simeon, when Simeon was able to enter. The book of Maccabees is not necessarily, it's just historical material.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Historical, as history.
Uh-huh.
As history. It talks about Simeon entering the temple, which was also on a horse. Mm-hmm. So war horses. But here it's the fulfillment of the prophecy. What prophecy was it? Let's go to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and it will reveal something to us. And Sergio probably will be the first one to get there.
Okay,
Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, yes.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.
So this is the answer.
Hmm.
What is the answer that we get from this verse? Because he was what?
Salvation.
Yeah.
Salvation first, and Jitesh,
lowly and humble.
Lowly and humble.
Yeah.
Because it's, in other words, donkeys, come on, donkeys. If you are in the war, imagine 500, people riding on donkeys and just defending their country. Have you ever seen it?
No. So if you're watching it, you're like, there's something wrong with this picture right
Definitely
now.
Definitely wrong.
As we see, it ties in perfectly with the word of God.
Exactly. It ties with the prophecy. And secondly, it points to the fact that Jesus is what? He's lowly.
Mm.
He's humble.
Yeah.
He's not trying to take Jerusalem by force.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
He's taking Jerusalem by love.
Oh, man.
And in the humble, he's humbly entering Jerusalem. Yes, Jitesh.
What?
No, because I
think your jaw had dropped.
Because,
so.
I mean, to think about it, that, you know, when you really think about it, you know, Jesus did the crazy thing. I mean, to come on a donkey, but it's mm-hmm. so meaningful, you know.
Yes. Mm.
It's just... to me, it's mind-blowing. Sorry.
Yes.
And that is the first time that Jesus actually accepts any type of glory, or because he was always saying no, and when they were trying to make king, he will run mm-hmm. away. But now Jesus is actually entering, but in such a lowly manner.
This is a very, very, very important point. Mm-hmm. Martha, thank you so much for bringing this up. And we actually need to go further. We need to go further. And we are in verse 23, and I hope you're keeping up with us. And we are in John chapter 12, verse 23. Yeah. But the chapter is packed with literally useful information. So verse 23, what does it say in your Bible, Martha? Verse 23.
But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified.
Okay, so this is what we read. We read in chapter 12. But let's go to chapter 7, verse 30, and chapter 8, verse 20. And Jitesh, if you could go to chapter 8, verse 20. And Martha, if you go to
chapter 7,
verse 30, yes.
Therefore, they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come.
So here Jesus says that his hour...
Not yet come.
He's not yet come. And what about Jitesh? You're in verse
8:30, right?
8:30, yes.
As he spoke these words,
8:20.
8:20. See, I knew I did it wrong.
You're on your toes.
8:20.
These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come.
But what do we read in chapter 12, verse 23?
The hour has come.
The hour has come. What was the turning point? Why do you think Jesus finally said, oh yes, finally, the hour had come?
Well, he's a week away from crucifixion.
Yes, but he could have still been just hiding as previous times.
If we look at what happens immediately before, verse 20 says, now there were certain Greeks who came to worship him at the feast. They get brought before Jesus.
Yes.
And he goes, now the hour has come.
Wow. No, this is amazing, to be honest. This is amazing. So what was the turning point again? Repeat it again, somebody.
The Greeks came.
The Greeks came. Why do you think that was a turning point in Jesus' life?
Because they were asking about him. They came and they were seeking, and he saw that, okay, the reason why I'm here, people are going to be saved, and it's going to be to the whole world.
To the whole world.
Yeah, so these are non-believers. Mm-hmm. These are people who didn't believe in Jesus.
Because we've read that the Pharisees are upset,
yes.
That the priests are upset that the Jews, many of the Jews are being converted, mm-hmm. and now we see now even Greeks are coming. Yeah,
yeah. So. Mm-hmm. What is the verse that everybody knows from the Gospel according to John?
John 3:16.
What does it say? Tell me.
For God so loved the world.
What? What again?
For God so loved the world.
The world. Not just one certain people, but he loved the world. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what happens here. In fact, in verse... So we need to actually go to verse 19. The last part of verse 19. We can read the entire verse 19. Sergio, could you read
I'll read the last half. Well, I think I know what you're looking for. It says, look, the world has gone after him.
So the world. And verse 20, Martha?
Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast.
So, and then they came to Philip and they asked, Philip, show us where Jesus is.
Yeah.
Yes.
What can we learn from Philip?
Oh, wow.
Man, I mean, what I learned from Philip, what I learned from even before that is just... The inclusiveness of the gospel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't come to save this type of people or that type of people who are born into this or believe that. Mm-hmm. He came to save the world.
Mm-hmm. He literally came to save the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Don't go anywhere because we will discover something even more amazing right after this very short break. And meanwhile, please take the time to respond to our question. What are some things in this world that can keep us from fully devoting ourselves to God? Welcome back. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself.
Oleg, guess what? Some people feel the same way because they're not keeping it to themselves.
Yes.
So we're going to jump in with some viewer comments. And keep in mind, this is our last show of the season, our last live show of the season. So keep sending your comments. We want you to be a part of our conversation. I'll jump in with a comment from a text from Andrew. And we have a few comments here, people saying actually the people in our lives can be something that keeps mm-hmm. us from fully devoting ourselves to God. So I'll read some like that. Andrew says, if we make our loved ones the center of all our life, then we miss Jesus that is right next to us, waiting for us to dedicate our lives to him. It's like Jesus says in Matthew, even mm-hmm. if you're, you know, if you love your family more mm-hmm. than me, then cast him aside. Naomi says a similar thing. She says on Facebook, she says, friends and family, pleasing others, our jobs, school, and very often our leisure activities. One more comment that deals with people is Yelena, who sends this via text. She says, one thing that can keep us from fully devoting ourselves to God is the people we associate with. If we are constantly around people that are ungodly influences, we will soon find ourselves drawing further away from God. By beholding, we become changed. So thank you, everyone, for your comments. We have a lot of comments. Those are just some of the people focusing mm-hmm. on people in our lives that can be one of the many things that keep us from devoting fully to God.
And Sergio, sometimes earlier we were talking about Philip.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how we can be somehow in the way of other people's coming mm-hmm. closer mm-hmm. to God.
Yeah.
What a parallel with Philip. Yeah. That is our job. We need to actually bring them to Jesus and not get in the way, but always bring them and tell them about Jesus. Awesome.
And this is amazing, because at the very beginning of the same gospel, Philip actually is the one who goes to Nathanael and says, "We found one! We found Jesus Christ! Come after me!" And then he brings him to Jesus. This is what happens when you're on fire for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So let's get this fire burning.
Amen.
This is what happens next. So, okay, if we go further, we see that Jesus gives a fascinating statement in verse 25 of the same chapter. And Martha, could you read for us verse 25?
"He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life."
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what Jesus is saying here. So what is he talking about here?
You know, it reminds me, we just finished studying Matthew.
Yes.
I'm reminded of Matthew 10:39 and Matthew 16, I forget the verse, but they both say the same thing. He who tries to gain his life will lose his life, and he who loses his life for my sake will gain life. And this is John's little tweak on that same verse, is saying if you try to hang on to your life in this world, you're going to lose it. That's just every single person who has lived, say for a couple have died.
Yes.
But if you lose your life, stop, just cast all that aside and follow me, then you have eternal life.
So just bring it to a different, he basically brings it to a different perspective of this world. Of this world. And that's why the following verse says, verse 26, it says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So if you follow Jesus Christ, then no matter what happens to your life, no matter what happens to you, you know that you're safe, even if death comes, because it's not the end.
Well, Jesus himself said, "I am the life and I am the way." And then if we just are focused so much in ourselves, that's self-destructive. If we just try to center and be selfish, then we are in the path of destruction, so we have to look to Jesus where there is only life.
And another thing for me that stands out, it says, he says hates. He didn't say dislikes or, you know, you're unhappy. He said hates. So hate is a strong word. And hate means you're never happy. Nothing in this world should be able to satisfy you.
No.
Nothing in this world should take precedence over God or over Jesus. So nothing of this world should be able to satisfy you. You should be thirsting and longing for something greater every time.
In other words, self-centeredness should just go away.
I love that, and I love how this text presents it, because like you said, it's not just lose your life like through persecution, although that's true too. It's hating your life, rejecting this world and moving on. And we have a lot of comments that are saying the same exact thing. And I'll jump in with some of them. Ed, through text, says, "Sometimes we dedicate so much time to our work that we miss the most important things in life." Pam says, also through text, she says, "Some things that keep me from devoting myself to God are just bills and everyday things." Another text, we get a lot of texts today. Deborah says, "For me, it's distractions, family needs and wants. I feel I'm not consistent in fellowship with other Christians." I'll read one more. Facebook, because they're all the same thing. Facebook, Cheryl says, "For me personally, I find that the day-to-day chaos of having a family and working, just managing life in general, will at times pull me away from even my prayer time. I find this to be a very, very challenging at times."
And that is why probably so beautifully Jesus puts it in the Gospel according to Matthew when he says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then in the Gospel according to John, Jesus also says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us." So from now on, whatever you do, if you go to work, if you spend time with your family, if you spend time with your loved ones, just embrace the fact that Jesus is always with you.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that we need to get rid of our responsibilities, daily responsibilities.
And that's why I love these comments so much, because they're describing things that are not bad.
Yes.
Our viewers are describing things like work, family, bills. These aren't sins.
No.
These are things that we have to do, but it's the world, and it's the thing that can kind of tie us down. And so I love what they're saying, because we have to have that perspective of, okay, I need to not let this bring me down too much, because I have something better that I could be pursuing.
Don't let that bring you down, but always remember that.
One thing that hit me a lot in my life is that I prioritize, making time to go to the gym, making time to work out, making time, I need to eat a meal because I have to eat, right? But why don't we ever put Jesus in that category where just as much as you need to eat, you need to speak to Jesus? It only takes 20 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes, but we make we make it an opportunity to do those things, so we can do the same thing for Jesus. We just need to learn to put precedence on him.
Absolutely. You know?
And even, I think, beyond compartmentalizing, we can do what Paul says, which is to just pray without ceasing.
That's right.
It's not, I don't have my Jesus time.
Exactly.
My life is my Jesus time.
Yes.
Everything I do, if I'm working, if I'm with my family, if I'm on cross-connection with my friends,
yes,
it's all Jesus time.
Absolutely. And we always glorify Jesus' name. Absolutely. This is what Jesus, this is what God says. He says, the hour has come that the Son should be glorified, in verse 23. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless, etc. So the Son is glorified. But what was the purpose of Jesus' death? This is what people talk about many times. Many times. There is a number of theories that we come up with to explain what Jesus' death and resurrection accomplished. But let's see what Jesus himself said about it.
Right.
So we're in John chapter 12, and I'm saying this is the crucial point of chapter 12, is like the foundation.
We're
you
should hear it.
Read
right.
it at home if you
we're
haven't
ready.
Yet. So chapter 12, verses 30 and 31 and 32.
Okay.
Sergio, 30 through 32.
Okay. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." And this he said in reference to his death.
Yes. Excellent. So what are those few things that we see from this passage that Jesus' death accomplished?
First of all, it's the judgment of this world.
So the judgment of this world, what else?
The ruler of this world will be cast out.
The ruler of this world will be cast out.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
He'll draw all peoples to himself.
He'll draw all people to
himself.
To himself.
Isn't that awesome?
So this is what Jesus talks about. He says, wow, this is what he says. Yeah. He plainly states it.
Oh, like I had always read that verse. This is why you have to read a whole passage. Like you say all the time, a text without a context is a pretext to what we want it to mean.
Yes.
And it's the same thing here. I'd always read 8:32. That's the thing you reference when you say, when we lift Jesus up, he draws all peoples to himself. Mm-hmm. Right? Whenever we proclaim him on cross connection, he's going to draw all peoples to himself. He's saying he did that on the cross. He said when he was lifted up on the cross, he will draw all peoples to himself. It completely changes my understanding of the text.
Exactly. And this is not the end. Remember when he said, my time has come.
Mm-hmm.
When did he say that his time has come? When Greeks...
Yeah.
came and started looking for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now when he explains what it means to what it means for him to be lifted up, when he's lifted up, all people are brought to him.
Yeah.
All people
That's
are brought
awesome.
To him. And there's also something important, because Satan was completely destroyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that something that he will be destroyed in the future. No. He is destroyed.
He will be
right
cast
there.
Out.
He is cast
referring one to the cross. So
to the
cross, he was cast out.
Yes, and that is why we talked about it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Jesus, God says, "And I will put an enmity between you and between your seed and between and the seed, her seed, about Eve's seed."
Mm-hmm.
She talks about Jesus Christ. The seed will crush your head, and you will only bruise His heel.
Mm-hmm.
His heel. This is what Jesus accomplished on Golgotha.
Yeah.
The place of the skull.
Yeah.
Satan's skull was crushed.
And another thing we've talked about how he draws all people to himself.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the rule of this world, Satan, being cast out.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing,
yes,
which is that the cross is the judgment of this world.
This is amazing. What does it mean? The cross is the judgment of the world.
That's what I
want to
know.
Yeah, that's what Jason wanted to know. I mean, that's another thing where I had always said the judgment is to come, right?
Yeah.
One day, God will judge us. And at the end, you know, at the final day, God will judge us. And Jesus says, now is the time. Now is the judgment.
But this is amazing. This is amazing. Because if we read this passage, the judgment is actually in the gospel. If we only had only the gospel according to John, our understanding of judgment would be completely different from what we have right now.
Mm.
Because let's go further. Let's go at the very end of this chapter.
Okay.
Verse 47. So it's chapter 12, verse 47. And Sergio, could you read for us verse
And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world.
And then continue verse 48.
He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day.
So what is the judgment?
On the last day.
In the last day. So what is the judgment?
The word.
The words.
The words of Jesus.
Yeah. The words that Jesus spoke. Yeah. And what happens with those people who do not, you can either receive that word or reject the word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and then you've judged yourself, in effect.
Exactly.
Because Jesus came and he is the truth, like he said, he is the light. And you're presented with it, you can still choose darkness. You could still see the truth and go, no, I'm going to choose darkness. Mm-hmm. But then that's you judging yourself. That's not God judging you.
Okay, and there is another point. Chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. We know very, John chapter 3, verse 16 is very familiar to us.
Right.
But apparently, sometimes we don't know what verse 14 and 15 says. Mm. And Sergio, could you read for us verses 14 and 15?
I'm reading everything.
No, Martha.
I'll read.
Yes, okay. Right, because you're just...
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Mm. So everyone who believes in him.
Yeah.
So there is just one condition, faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And I want us to experience the same faith. And I would like you to experience the same faith, the faith in Jesus Christ. And then you will get this eternal life. And meanwhile, we have to take this break. Meanwhile, you can always take the time to respond to our question. What are some things in this world that can keep us from fully devoting ourselves to God? Welcome back. This is fascinating because the study of the Word of God literally reveals to us so much.
Yeah.
I want us to actually, we are nearing the conclusion of chapter 12 and also the conclusion of our program.
Our season, yeah.
And our season.
Of our season, yeah.
So let us.
So send your comments in. We're running out of time.
Exactly. But after this season, it's not the end of the season as we talk about it, because there will be such thing as cross reconnection.
Okay, yeah.
So we will talk about
it
later.
We'll talk about that, yeah.
But what is fascinating about this passage in chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Let's read those verses. Jitesh.
Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God.
Mm.
Martha, why did you say, and Sergio is shaking his head.
It's sad.
What is said?
That they love the praise of men more than the praise of God.
So what we just read here, that even among the rulers, many believed in Jesus.
Mm.
Many rulers, Pharisees, Sadducees, many of those believed in Jesus because in the book of signs worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, Jesus's last sign, which is the resurrection of Lazarus, it worked. Mm-hmm. Many people came to him. But
that takes away from themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the praise will go to Jesus and not to them.
Yeah.
Well, Simon at the beginning of the chapter was a perfect example. He was a ruler. He was part of the Pharisees, and he believed in Jesus in a way that he will give him a dinner, but he did not believe Jesus even knew who Mary was. He did not believe in the power of Jesus. Mm. He just took everything very superficial, just the signs, and not believing that he had power to transform his life and forgive him.
Yeah. I think what's sad about 42, though, is that it says that they believed in him.
They believed, yes.
And they really did. It says that they believed, but because of the Pharisees, they weren't willing to take that step out and confess that they believed because they belonged to a group.
To the synagogue.
And they didn't want to be excluded from that group.
Mm-hmm.
And that was ultimately, that desire was more, it was stronger than their desire to step out in faith for Jesus.
Well, they were loving their lives more.
Exactly.
the verse back in 25.
Yes.
So we've been talking about a lot of things that can keep us from devoting ourselves to God. And we see that even a devotion to a group, even a religious group, if that is the first and foremost thing, that can keep you from Jesus if Jesus is not center in that.
Wow.
And this is a very important point.
Yeah.
Because this is exactly what some Pharisees and some rulers experienced.
Yeah. Yeah.
They loved, not necessarily loved, but they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God.
Yeah.
And there is something significant about it. In verse 44, I can see Jesus doing something incredible. Verse 44. Sergio, I know that you should read this.
Okay.
Yeah. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me."
So in other words, he was saying, you see me doing all these signs, yeah. and you do not confess me, but by not confessing me, you do not confess who?
The Father.
Yeah. The Father, God himself.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is what it's all about.
Yeah. And I'll just take this time to keep our conversation going on our question. Mm-hmm. I'll read a comment on Facebook. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce the name, but I'll just read the answer. It's very short. It says, problems and difficulties, like we've discussed before. Mm-hmm. We have a comment from Joel, who we know in this studio on Facebook. He says, as a young man, there are many things that Satan is using to keep me from the pure, true relationship with our Almighty God. It could be an unhealthy, unpure relationship with a girlfriend. It could also be worldly entertainment, movies, songs, and video games, sports, which are taking away that precious time, which could be used to spend in prayer and in the Word of God. Satan knows that if he can get us to focus on us, then he knows that we will be stuck in this state of mind and not grow spiritually. I like what Joel is saying, because none of the things that he listed are necessarily sins in and of themselves. It's the distraction from, it's the being tied to things in this world and not focusing on Jesus that is the real danger there.
So we could come to conclusion that whatever draws you out, like away from Jesus Christ, just get rid of it.
Ultimately, it's a focus issue.
Yeah. If it's your eye, just pluck away your eye. If it's your hand, just cut your hand, metaphorically speaking.
Right.
Okay, great. This is great. You see, at the very end, which we talked about, that the book of John is divided, it can be divided into two sections. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The section of the book of signs and also the book of glory. Yeah. And at the very end of the book of signs, at the very end of chapter 12, mm-hmm. Jesus is presenting, so to speak, this essence of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So what, and we don't have enough time to read the entire verses 44 through 50, but what is your takeaway lesson, or not takeaway lesson, but the highlight of this passage that you see?
For me, everybody's been through a tunnel before where mm-hmm. the lights are dimmer, you have to turn on your headlights, whatever, because it's so dark through the tunnel. But if you look at the end, there's a light. And that's what I feel when I read the passage, that what Jesus came to be. We're going through all this darkness in our lives, in the things that we're going through, but we need to focus, we need to look up and not focus on what we are right now. Yeah. Look forward and see that light. And hey, I want to know what that light is, and I want to see what's at the end. Let me continue further and focus on what is really important.
And I love what's at the end of this chapter, because it says mm-hmm. what's at the end for all of us.
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus says, like the verse we just read, he who believes in me believes in the one who sent me.
Yes.
And verse 50 tells us, and I know that his command, the one who sent him, is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Yeah. Which is so, Jesus says he didn't come to judge. God sent him into this world with marching orders. Mm-hmm. And those marching orders were not to judge, they were to save and give everlasting life.
And that's hope. What Jesus and has hope. To offer. You know, we need something to hope for. And Jesus is right there. And he's given us all these promises. Stop focusing on the darkness. Look up. There's a lot of light.
And that is why in this essence of the gospel, or the summary of the gospel in verses 44 through 50, in verse 46, the same chapter, Jesus says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is what you were talking about, this tunnel. Yeah. Okay, Martha,
I was thinking of what the cross represents. The cross represents that pathway to everlasting life, mm-hmm. to believe in Jesus. And I was looking a little bit back in here, when Jesus in chapter 5 of John, he mm-hmm. says the same thing. He keeps saying, like, most assuredly, that's verse 24, I said to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Jesus here is like condensing mm-hmm. what we had in all the verses here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That first we hear and believe, and then we have everlasting life.
Yes.
Jesus is basically saying you have to hear, believe, and have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. And that all comes from the Father through me.
Mm. So
it's very beautiful. It's very clear.
That's great.
Hear, believe, and you will have everlasting life.
Yes.
And why would you not want to go down that road? And that's why we're discussing what are some things that can draw mm-hmm. us away from that road. We've listed a lot of different things. Ultimately, we're kind of coming to the conclusion that it's a mindset issue. And I'm going to read some comments that say that exact thing, that it's the issue is in us. First, I'll read a comment from Melissa on Facebook. She says, ourselves, we're human. and we tend to be very self-focused. It's easy for us to get lost in our problems and ourselves to a point where we lose sight of God. When we become too focused on ourselves, we are no longer focusing on God. Obviously, God loves us and He wants us to care for ourselves, but He designed us for more than just to take care of ourselves. He also wants us to care for one another and to love Him. I'll read another comment from Nancy. She says, our own sinful nature, when we let the world dictate how we should act and live, it keeps us from giving all to God, when we rely on our human wisdom instead of depending on Jesus. And one more comment, which is along the same thing. Hadibukla says, trying to please ourselves, motivated by our desire for security and for pleasure, we end up losing ourselves because we lose focus on Jesus. But if our motive is what pleases Jesus, though it may not bring immediate gratification, then we can stay devoted to Him. My first season with Cross Connection has brought me closer to Him. Amen. Aww. Thank you so much.
This is the greatest gift, the greatest gift at the end of the season, because we feel that Cross Connection is bringing us closer to Jesus.
Absolutely. And we want to thank our viewers for their comments. Those last three comments I read, those are all regular viewers, regular commenters. Mm-hmm. We're on a first name basis with them now. We know them just by their first name. So thank you guys for your comments.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we really appreciate it. And it's just amazing to see that there is no limit to Jesus' saving power, except just one thing, the resistance of unbelief. Just as these rulers, they saw Jesus Christ, they could believe, but the resistance of unbelief just judged them by themselves. Yeah. And this is very important, because sometimes we imagine God as just this white-haired judge with the hammer.
Sitting on his throne,
with the hammer. I want to judge you now. Mm-hmm. But this is a wrong picture of God, because God says, I sent my Son, my one and only Son.
That the image of judgment of God is not Him with a hammer, it's Him hanging on a cross. Exactly. That is His judgment that He offers us.
And He wants you to be saved. And the only thing that can happen is just like, I want to reject you, Lord. And then you judge yourself.
Yeah.
What a powerful lesson. Yeah. What is your takeaway lesson in one sentence? Jitation, Martha.
Can't do it. I can't do it. Go ahead.
There's everlasting life. Yes. And all we have to do is believe. And it's available.
Amen.
Focus on the light at the end of the tunnel. Focus on the light. And if you focus, it gets bigger and bigger as you get closer.
And what is that light?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. And we learned it well. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is amazing. So as we learned today, the great subject of chapter 12 is the meaning of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The accounts of the anointing of Jesus and his entry into Jerusalem are presented as signs of the exaltation of Jesus via the cross to heaven. And ultimately, the shouting of the crowd when they shouted, Hosanna, save us now, is the recognition by all nations of the Lord who gave Himself for the life of this world. Mm. And Sergio, it's been a great study.
Yes.
Haven't been? Yeah. And
it has been. But it's our last show, but we're going to be back.
Yes.
We're not going to be live anymore, but we'll be here with
Cross
Reconnection. Yes. And it's going to be a chance for us to take a look back at our favorite episodes of Cross Connection and really to get additional insights. We'll have new footage. We'll have behind-the-scenes access and info. It's going to be a really fun chance to get reconnected with the Word of God.
And even though, to be honest, I'm extremely sad right now, because this is the last episode of this season, but this is also the reason for celebration. And we are literally celebrating the love of God and His grace, and also
wow.
This is great.
Wow.
Yeah. Praise God. And I hope you enjoyed our program as well.
Yeah.
Because this is the celebration of God's love and also God's power in this Cross Connection program, because it helps us to grow.
And Oleg, as we go out, you know, we have comments from our viewers too, just saying how much Cross Connection means to them, and that's a reason to celebrate too. Deborah says, I will miss Cross Connection very much, but the Lord and I will look forward to next season as my faith in Him grows stronger with each episode. Thank you for being the Lord's shepherd, your sister in Christ Jesus, Deborah. Thank you, Deborah, so much.
Thank you so much. And until next week, stay connected with Jesus Christ in your everyday life, and also on Cross Reconnection.
Yeah.
Yes, praise God.
Praise God.